Good morning, First Baptist Church and 103.1 radio listening friends. I invite you to open your Bibles with me, please, to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Those who were with us last week know we began a new sermon series leading up to Easter. This is very important. Easter is only a few weeks away. And we've been tracing the steps of Jesus Christ prior to His arrival into the holy city of Jerusalem. Everyone say Jerusalem. Jerusalem, that's the center of the earth. That's the apple of God's eye. That is a holy city of God where Jesus rode into triumphantly there on Passion Week, the week prior to His death, burial, and of course His blessed resurrection. But Dr. Luke was kind enough to list for us, as inspired by the Holy Spirit, some of the activity of Jesus leading up to Passion Week. So in Luke chapter 17, we'll go find one portion of this, just weeks before Easter. Now, if you look inside of your sermon notes section in the bulletin, you notice we're in an Easter sermon series, and we are in a time we've called too busy, too boastful, too blessed for Jesus. What? Last week we learned how Jesus taught, how He was inviting everyone to come and dine with Him. And yet a businessman, a farmer, and a man who was just married said, "Oh Lord, I would love to come and dine with You, but I'm just too busy. My wealth, my work, and my wife is going to prohibit me from spending time with You here at Easter and also in heaven." Now that's what we learned last week. The people went on record saying they were too busy for Jesus at Easter. Now next week we'll learn about a group of people that Jesus will be talking to right before He rises into the holy city, who were too boastful, said, "Lord, my dignity just won't permit me to honor You here at Easter. What would people say about me?" So last week they were too busy. Next week they're going to be too boastful. But today may be the saddest of all the indictments. They said, "Lord, we're just too blessed to give You our time." Just before Easter, Jesus went and healed 10 lepers, as recorded in Luke chapter 17. Beginning in verse number 11, they were too blessed to say thanks. And you and I should never be too busy or too blessed to pay homage to God, to say, "Thank You, Lord." Would you join me in saying that right now? "Thank You, Lord." One more time like you mean it. "Thank You, Lord." I don't know about your Sunday school class. We had a delightful time today. Did we not, Tammy? A visitor. We had a delightful time at Sunday school this morning. "Thank You, Lord." I saw many of you hugging each other in the hallway, praying for one another, encouraging one another. You're excited not to be here at First Fairleigh. You're excited to be a child of the King, which the boys and girls just sang about. That was a big step for many of them, by the way, to sing in public like that. Thank you, parents and grandparents, and Miss Donna and others for investing in them, and Miss Terry, Miss Dreamer, who's not here, just laid her beloved to rest this last week. Thank you for investing in the boys and girls, and tell them how they truly are missionaries for Jesus. They're ambassadors for Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. They should want to witness. They should want to sing unto the Lord. Well, such was the case right here. Some men who cried out for help, and God answered. So allow me to begin reading about these men who were too blessed to really give thanks to Jesus. Luke chapter 17, here in our series, it came to pass in verse number 11, as He, being Jesus, went to Jerusalem. Remember, He's making His trek now to Jerusalem, to the holy city leading up to Calvary. That He passed through the middle to the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And that's very important. He wasn't welcome in Samaria. We'll be talking about that here very soon, the Samaritans. And then as He entered into a certain village, the identity is not really that important in verse number 12. What is important, there He met 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. We'll understand in a moment why they had to stand afar off. And they lifted up their voices, and notice what it says in verse number 13 in Luke chapter 17. They lifted up their voices and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Well, Dallas, doesn't the Bible say they lift up their voices, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us? No, they couldn't. Because part of their leprosy is their voice boxes were also attacked. What it says here in their Greek language, to the best of their ability, they cried out for help. But Jesus heard it. Friends, if you're here today and you're hurting, your neighbor may not know it, the pastor may not know it, but you don't have to scream at the top of your lungs and say, Jesus, have mercy on me. Save me, a wretched sinner. He'll do it. You here and those listening by radio, God will help you. Jesus, mercy on my marriage. I'm struggling. Jesus, my children, my walk with you. Jesus, have mercy. Jesus can hear these cries. And he did. Verse 14. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest, as was required in a day. They were like the medical inspectors. And it came to pass, this is very important, as they went, they were healed. They were cleansed of their leprosy. Wow. And one of them, one of the ten, when he saw that he was healed, he did three things, friends. In verse 15, the first one, he turned back. And now with a loud voice, he glorified God. He was healed of his leprosy. His body was intact. He turned with a loud voice. He glorified God. And what did he do in verse 16? The third and final thing, he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet and gave thanks to Jesus. And to stop right there, that would be enough for us. But Jesus said, I want you to know the full account of this story. This man was a Samaritan. Wow. You've never been in church before? We'll teach you a little bit today about leprosy, the disease that attacks not only the skin, but the entire body. And also, we'll delve in a little bit of what it means to be a Samaritan, despised of the Jews, and they despise the Jews also. This man, a Samaritan of the ten, came back to Jesus and gave thanks. And the Bible says, and he was a Samaritan. Verse 17. And then Jesus already knew the answer, but he just wanted to hear this man acknowledge it. Were there not ten cleansed? But where are the nine? Where's the posse? Where's that group of guys that you were restricted to? You're not allowed to float around town. You're not allowed to travel to and fro. You probably were outside the outer walls of the city. Where's your buddies? Where's your comrades? Where's your contemporaries? Where are those who've been struggling for all this time with leprosy? You and you save you alone. There are none found that return to give glory to God, in verse 18, except this foreigner, this alien, this stranger, i.e. this Samaritan. So Jesus said unto him in verse 19, this ought to bring comfort to us. We're not here to judge anyone. But he said, I want you to arise, go your way, because your faith has made you what? Whole. Whole. Friends, being honest to the scriptures, all ten were healed. All ten had faith enough to act on the orders of Jesus. But only one had gratitude. Let me say it again. All ten were healed. By show of hands, has God ever performed a miracle in your life? I'm curious. By show of hands, raise your hand. Wow. Wow. Thank you so much. If you're here today, you're born again, born above, washed in the blood, right there is a miracle in itself. But apart from your salvation, if God has ever performed a miracle in your life, give him glory for this. Don't rob him of that. Of the ten, one came back. Now, we usually camp out and say, well, those dirty, rotten others, those nine others, they didn't come back. But friends, they had to go back to the priest. Levitical law, Leviticus 13, Numbers, many other places required them to go back and be pronounced that they were clean and ready to be put back into the public's eye. But this man was a Samaritan. Some scholars believe that the priest would not have pronounced him as being clean. I want you to hear First Fair Lee and all across this world, God loves everyone. Can I get amen? It makes me emotional today. that America is tearing itself apart over races of people. There's not but one race, it's a human race. And over politics. I'm not a politician. I just tell you, vote as Jesus would vote and honor God and family and country. But friends, Democrat, Republican, Independent, just honor God and give Him the glory and the honor. But the devil is using this against us. Everyone is welcome here. Everyone's welcome at the feet of Jesus Christ. That's what we find here. We should never be too busy, or here more specifically, too blessed. Can you imagine the emotions of these men? As they turned to go present themselves to the priest, they realized they were cleansed. And one of them, who didn't go see the priest this time, he turned back to Jesus. With a loud voice, he cries out, he falls at his feet. Is that your immediate emotion? When I'm in the hospital and a baby is born, I love being there and watching the parents' emotion. Even those of us men, I mean, I'm talking about a hunk of men. Our eyes start to well up. We kind of go outside, I'm going to go get something to drink. Well, the women know what we're doing. We're out there crying like a baby, especially when they're in the delivery room to see your child. And you go out there and you're trying to hide, you hear somebody else crying, and it's Papa over here, he's crying the same way. Oh, man, we get emotional when children are born. Yes, but I love it when they say, let's gather together and hold hands and thank God for this beautiful creation, the crowning jewel of God's creative hand, this beautiful baby, and the mother is still here. May our entire lives be devoted to raise this child in the nurture and admonition of Jesus, the holy and righteous King of kings and Lord over all. Friends, we can learn here from our text that we need to be ready for Easter. It's just not something we put on a calendar, something we do down at the river at Roncevert, we'll do it again this year, something we do with our families when we have cookouts or Easter egg hunts. We get our pictures taken every year at Easter. That's not what Easter is all about. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It doesn't show up. We need to prepare ourselves for this. We should be excited about this. We should be turning to God right now saying, God, I can't wait until Easter gets here again. I get to celebrate today, but the whole world for one day will stop and say, yes, that's the true meaning of Christianity. The cross. Now we get it. That's why we're here. Apart from everything else we've been enjoying with Awana and youth and the senior adult ministry and all the Bible studies and all the things, it's really, that's why we're here. The center focus is the cross. And Jesus took time before he went to the cross to still heal, to teach, to reach, to change lives. Glory to God. Notice inside of your handout, please, that this Thanksgiving outline, it's not something we use just in November. We can use it right now. The general outline begins simply with this. It was a meeting here. It was a meeting in verse number 12. Jesus, in verse 11, was passing through Samaria, and he met some lepers in verse number 12. It's important for us to be honest with the Scriptures. Was this the first time that Jesus was ever confronted with someone with leprosy? Of course not. Let's just stay in the book of Luke. As I said, Luke lends something that the other Gospels don't. The last few weeks of the life of Jesus Christ prior to Calvary. Well, in Luke chapter 5, turn back just a few pages, please. In Luke chapter 5, we find Jesus healing another man of leprosy. In Luke chapter 5, we see this man was told not to go tell anyone in fear that his fame would be subsided. Everybody just wanted to come to Jesus for a healing. Just heal me. Get me out of this problem. Well, notice with me in verse number 12 of chapter 5 of Luke. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, here's Jesus again, behold, a man full of leprosy. You see that in verse 12 of chapter 5? Who seen Jesus, what did he do? He fell on his face. His fame was known abroad. He besought him. He said, Lord, if you desire, if you will, you can make me clean. And of course, dear friends, I want you to know, Jesus wants to cleanse you. today as well as back in this day. And Jesus put forth his hand. He touched this man. He said, I will. This is my desire. Be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. But Jesus said in verse 14, now don't go and tell anybody. But the man couldn't contain it. So now let's go back over to Luke chapter 17. The news was made abroad. Jesus just healed a man previously. Raised the dead, Lazarus. Perhaps he could do that for these guys. So when these men, in verse 11 and 12, this meeting took place here, they had heard about this Jesus, this miracle maker. Was he truly the Son of God? So they cried out. He entered the city and they met there by 10 lepers, which stood afar off. Now, let's have a little lesson on leprosy. Someone tell me why the lepers had to stand afar off. Levitical law, thank you, Roger, and many others. They weren't allowed to be in the immediate vicinity of those who were without leprosy. As a matter of fact, it's so specific in the Old Testament, if the wind was blowing in the population's direction, they had to distance themselves even more from the common man. So leprosy was a disease. And by the way, in this text right here, I agree with the scholars, this was known as the Hansen disease. This was the worst means of leprosy. When people think of leprosy and they teach in Sunday school to the boys and girls, and this, they usually show someone has scales on their arms or on their face. Leprosy is so much more than that. Leprosy right now, Hansen disease, there's over 1 million cases worldwide of people who have this. It not only attacks the cells, your skin, it also attacks the nervous system. People who really have this type of leprosy, they can't feel pain. They can put their hands in the fire sometimes, and they have to be careful of this. They can't feel the nerves in the end of their fingers anymore. It not only attacks their skin, their nervous system, often attacks their larynx, their voice box. They can't speak. Can you imagine someone who has this horrific skin disease, scales all over them, and they're starting to go blind, scales on their eyes. They can't speak. They can't breathe properly. They're blinded by this. They can't feel pain anymore. And their bones start to basically weaken and break, and they can't feel it anymore. Picture that in your mind of these men who now were trying to ask for help. I don't believe anyone here needs that kind of help, at least immediate help. But don't discount your help here prior to Easter. Regardless what your need is, my need, I'm going to Jesus. I'm saying, Jesus, please cleanse me, help me. And God said, my love for you is not measured by the amount of pain you're going through. My love for you is constant. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll touch you. I'll heal you. I'll fall fresh on you as much as I did with these lepers back in this day. Another reason the lepers were looked down upon, not only because they were contagious, but also many people believe that leprosy was contracted because a person was being judged by God. Can we prove in the Bible that someone who contracted leprosy, and it was obvious, you could just look at a person, a man or a woman, and say, oh, that person, God's judging them. We got to be careful. What does it say in Matthew 7, verse 1? Judge not, lest you be judged. Somebody's going through a heartache right now. Be careful. You say, well, I know God's judging them. But were there any cases where God did judge someone with leprosy? Yes. Remember the sister and brother, Aaron and Miriam of Moses? And they had a problem with one of the women he married. And the Shekinah glory came down. They had to come to Jesus' meeting. And God said, get Aaron and Miriam. Come to the tent, Moses. We'll have a meeting. And the Shekinah glory fell on them. When it departed, looked up, Miriam had leprosy. Everybody in the camp knew it. God eventually cleansed her. He had her attention, her and many others. But just because a person has cancer, Just because a person has contracted some illness today, don't say it's God's judgment on him. We can't prove under Scripture that these men were being judged by God. Leprosy was horrible. Horrible. But Jesus took time, look, in verse number 11 and 12, to meet with them. This is vitally important. Well, who were these Samaritans? Let's go to the next one. They cried out. They said, Master. Not only they have a meeting, we see the Master here in the outline. They lifted a voice and they said in verse number 13, Jesus, Master. What a title. What a title. We don't have time to camp out on that, but folks, they were paying a great respect to Jesus Christ. We were talking about this the other day in an office devotion, how people refer to Jesus today. And sometimes when you and I are so in love with God, just the very name Jesus brings us to tears. Lord, Savior, Master. We get all theological. Well, exactly what do you mean by Abba, Father? What do you mean by teacher? What do you mean by master? How about this? He's God. Whatever happened to the reverence of God that would bring us to our knees, tears to our face, Almighty God? They got it. Look in verse 13. Jesus, Master. Jesus loves everyone. He loves you. How do you and I refer to him? But these, at least one of them, was a Samaritan. Mark your spot here. Let's go back to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. We've already been in Luke 5. Let's go to Luke chapter 9, and let's learn a little bit about these Samaritans. Jesus said in another place, I must needs go through Samaria. Wow. Well, he took time for the Samaritans as well as the Gentiles and the Jews. These basically, for lack of a better term, and I don't like it, these people who were half-breeds. Simplest terms, Jews from 722 B.C. had intermingled and married and procreated a nation of people that didn't follow Jehovah. They had some Jewish roots, but they also had a mixed bag in their nations of people. And they didn't honor God. It wasn't the color of their skin. It was their approach to God. But Luke chapter 9, verse 51, Jesus himself was rejected by the Samaritans. Luke chapter 9, verse 51, it came to pass when the time was come that Jesus should be delivered, received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He's still trying to make his trek to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before him, he's just talking about he's determined to go, and they went. They entered to the village of Samaria to make ready for him. But what does it say in verse 53? But they did not receive him, because his face, his desire was set on Jerusalem. And of course, they despised Jerusalem. Many of them, anyways. And the disciples saw this in verse 54. And James and John, the sons of thunder, they said, Lord, let's just annihilate them. That's what it's saying here in the Scripture. James and John saw this. They said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire down to come down from heaven and consume them? Even as Elias did, Elijah, called down the fire. Is that what you want? Let's just annihilate him. Jesus said, no, no. Look at verse 56. For the Son of Man, which is one of his favorite titles, by the way, did not come to destroy men's lives, but to do what? To save them. So they just went to another village. Wow. Go back to Luke 17. Folks, Jesus is not here to condemn us, but to save us. God sent us not a son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. That's John 3:17. He wants to save us. They were trying to say, Jesus, you have full right just to wipe them out, bunch of Samaritans. He said, how dare you? Everyone is welcome at my Father's house. Just back up in your mind's eye. You don't need to turn to it. Go back to John. John chapter 4. How many of you ever read the account of God, not the story, but the true account of God, that Jesus went to the well in the middle of the day, and there he met a woman. He asked for a drink of water, and she said, how dare you ask for a drink of water? You know why she said, how dare you ask for a drink of water? Because she was what? A Samaritan, and you're a Jew. We're not supposed to like each other. And Jesus loved on her and taught her that I love everybody. That's something I love about First Baptist here in Fairleigh. We're going to love everybody, not the expense of compromising the Scripture, but everybody is welcome here. Can I get amen? Everybody is welcome. Well, you don't know how messed up my life is. Don't know, but God does. You know how broken I am. You know what I'm struggling with? I don't, but God does. Go to the Master and tell Him. Dr. Luke knew about leprosy. Of all the disciples, of all the writers of the Gospels, of everybody in the entire canon of Scripture, Luke fully knew what leprosy is about, Hansen disease. He knew the need of these men. He just casually addresses it here. These men had leprosy. They had a meeting with the Master. But what does it say in verse 14? Then a miracle. A miracle showed up. Because the miracle maker himself was there. And when Jesus saw them, he said, "Now I want you to go and show yourself to the priest." And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, the priest didn't cleanse them. The pastor doesn't cleanse you. The priest doesn't cleanse you. A bishop doesn't cleanse you. A deacon doesn't cleanse you. Your best friend, your mom, your dad, anybody. No, only Jesus can cleanse you. Because we don't sin against anybody but God, first and foremost. Remember King David when he committed the adulterous affair with Bathsheba? He said in Psalm 51, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." He's confessing his sins to God, the Father. Did he not commit a sin against Bathsheba, Uriah? Sure he did. But first, my sins against you. Father, you need to forgive me before these others can forgive me. But this miracle took place down here. This miracle took place. I saw this miracle one time. I was calling to the home of a man who had skin cancer. I don't describe it in great detail because I realize we have mixed families here. It's the most grotesque thing I've ever seen. His jaw was open, his cheekbone. His face was dripping into a towel below him. I witnessed to the man. He said, "Like I am? You mean God can forgive me for my hellacious life I've lived?" And he did. "And heal me." I said, "Yes, sir, based on the Scriptures. God will heal you spiritually and then give you a new body one day because the doctor says you are on borrowed time." The man, he practiced what we just read here. He turned and with a loud voice he glorified God, said, "God, save me." I witnessed the Spirit of God come down this man who could barely walk. He jumped up and ran outside and said, "I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved." 2 weeks later, I preached his funeral with a closed casket, his skin falling off the bones. He'd been to Johns Hopkins, UVA, everywhere. There's nothing they could do. But a miracle took place down here. A miracle took place. You know, God still performs miracles. We sometimes, even at Easter, we forget to give God the glory and the honor. He's the miracle maker. If God answered your number one prayer request right now, would it be a miracle? "Well, I don't really have a prayer request." Shame on you. Limiting God? Grieving God? You realize we can do that with the Holy Spirit of God? We can grieve God. We can limit God. We can constrain God. I'm asking God for a miracle to save someone we know. God can do that. Look here in verse 14. As they went, they were cleansed. You know why churches today are falling off in attendance? Because people don't as they went anymore. Every study I read across denominational lines, why is church attendance down? Well, we changed the music. And we love the music today. Happy, clappy, but guess what? Brents, I love that "Be Thou My Vision." Is it too much to ask to understand the words to Christian music? Should it honor God with, can we understand the words and honor God? Folks, we can worship God like this, or we can worship God like this. We're not going to have that worship war. But we change the music, maybe people will come to church. Or if we have more pizza blasts and parties and show more movies and stuff, that's, no, it's not. From my understanding of the scholars and of others who are experts in the field taking the polls, based on the scriptures, this day was prophesied. Do you know why church attendance interest has fallen off? You know why families turn Sunday into fun day? You know why Jesus is an afterthought? It's not to beat up on anybody. You know why only one of the nine turned back? It's right there in the scriptures. Thankfulness. There's a lack of thankfulness. We are so blessed today, we just don't need God. Think about it. We are so blessed when the country's at war, when you're going through a divorce, when you have problems at home, whatever, people run to Jesus. When things are going good, your 401k hasn't tanked, other things, investments are going up, your life is pretty good. At least one of the 10 said, right now the pinnacle of my miracle, I'm going to give thanks to God. I'm going to encourage you this Easter, make Easter a priority. Right now, we have 4 weeks to get ready for it. Give thanks to God, but my life's not messed up. I'm doing pretty good. Well, give thanks to God. One of the 10 did. That's the miracle down here. Then we see the math, of course. A tithe of this. A tithe of this. One. Who, by the way, what do we already discover here? In verse number 16, one can turn back, and what was he again? A Samaritan. Someone who really wasn't welcome in the presence of a Jew. This reminds me of my favorite Paul Harvey story. My favorite Paul Harvey story was told about a man who was very, very popular in country music back in the 40s and 50s. His name was Lonzo Green. Raise your hand if you ever heard Lonzo Green. There you go. Well, let me educate you. Lonzo Green was known all across the Opry, all across the world, really, as being an extraordinary musician and gifted singer. And Lonzo Green, as Paul Harvey would tell the story, was traveling through Tennessee. They're on tour, concerts. And while he's there, he wanted to visit one of his relatives. And his relative was so excited because her son, his nephew, was the biggest Lonzo Green fan. He bragged, "My Uncle Lonzo's on the Opry. You hear my Uncle Lonzo on the radio. Uncle Lonzo is, he's my uncle. He's my uncle." Well, little Jimmy was so excited because he heard Uncle Lonzo's going to come through their town and was going to find time to come over and have dinner with them. He got so excited. So it was a buzz. They're in the school system. Lonzo Green is coming to my house. He's my uncle. Bragging rights. And mom and dad said, "I can bring one of you home for dinner." Now you can just imagine all the boys and girls lined up. Who didn't want to be there? Well, he chose one boy, dark-headed boy there, about the same age, about 10, 11 years old. And then showed up there. When the family looked out the window, saw the young boy come with an old broken-down guitar he got at a pawn shop and had a piece of string on it. They stopped him. In front of Lonzo, they said, "Son, Jimmy, listen to me. Your friend over here, son, he's not welcome in the house." Jimmy was heartbroken. He'd heard this before, but Uncle Lonzo's here. Maybe they make an exception. This boy comes from the wrong side of the tracks. We have a reputation to keep. Uncle Lonzo's in here. This boy, here's what they called him, it's white trash. Made the boy stand on the curb. Can you imagine? I went back and checked this out. True story. Made the boy stand on the curb. And Jimmy is heartbroken, playing with his mother and his father. "Mom, it's embarrassing. There he is." And Lonzo, who also was poor white trash from Arkansas, he opened the door and said, "Come on, Jimmy." He walked out there. Do the math on this one. He sat on the curb on the side of the street, this famous musician and singer, and took out boy's guitar and said, "Son, you want to sing some songs?" What a thrill. He didn't know how to tune his guitar. He said, "Mr. Lonzo," he said, "I don't know how to play it. I don't know how to tune it." So he tuned the guitar for him, showed him. The boy was a quick learn, and showed him three simple chords. If you ever played a guitar, G, C, and D. "Son, you can sing most songs with G, C, and D." This boy, poor white trash, just like a Samaritan, who wasn't welcome in then Jimmy's home, has probably been in your home. He's made over 33 motion pictures. known for millions of records, and a king of rock and roll. What's his name? Elvis Presley. What if Alonzo Grain would have told him, you're nothing but poor white trash? You see where I'm going with this? Just do the math. Thank God that Jesus took time for the Samaritan who was healed and could go back and even to Samaria and say, listen, we got this all messed up. This Jesus guy, he's the real deal. If you and I have prejudice in our lives, today's a good day to get rid of that. Man looks on the outward appearance, God looks on the... We've already discovered that here. Friends, this truly was a miracle. The man fell down. Do the math, 1 of 10. But the driving message, look with me, in verse number 18 and 19. Jesus said, no one really came back except for this one. But the driving message was they all had faith. They all had faith. I'm not saying they didn't believe in God, but only one had gratitude. Now, look at your title again. 9 were too blessed to say thanks. Consider that in your own life right now. I'm thrilled you're here today. But do you have plans for Easter and worshiping God? If you go away on vacation, that's okay. I'm just asking you to consider the seriousness of this moment. Is the week after Father's Day Vacation Bible School, we just saw an array of boys and girls up here, have we made that a priority in our lives? Summer camp with the teenagers, is that a priority? I'm just asking. We have church calendars out everywhere, not to browbeat anybody, to educate you and say, listen, here's where the big events of the church are. Here's when they're scheduled on the calendar. Would you pray about giving God thanks and honoring Him at Easter? Vacation Bible School, camp, the senior adult ministry, and other times. No, I'm too busy. Well, you're like the guys last week. Or I'm too blessed. If there's a crisis, I promise you, we would find time. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes so you can do the math. You can do the math. You and the radio listening audience, just make an altar where you are and talk to God about your specific needs right now. And when He does come to the rescue, when He does perform a miracle, be quick to give Him thanks. Father, into Your presence we come. You hear that song? Because He lives, you can live too. If you're not saved, if you've never received the miracle, redemption of the Savior, today can be your spiritual birthday. Call out to God. He will save you, cleanse you, set you apart unto a good work. He will adopt you into His family. Do that right now, right there where you're sitting, right there over the radio waves, where you're listening, in your truck, in your barn, in the prison, wherever you may be. Call out to God right now and say, save me. It's going to take a miracle. God, save me and cleanse me. He'll do that. Now, if we are saved, it still doesn't mean we're not exempt from leprosy, from problems, because the devil hates us. He's roaring, roaming about, seeking whom he may devour. You got a big X on your back. He can't take your salvation, but he can take your joy. Wow. He can't take your salvation, but he can take your schedule. He can fill your schedule so full of stuff that you don't have time for Jesus. You don't have time to say thanks. Tell the devil right now, I'm done with you. Praise God with me. Once again, dear God, we acknowledge your greatness, your goodness, your power. We thank you for Jesus Christ who conquered the grave, the victory that is made possible through Him. We acknowledge that, we accept that, and we make this known abroad, just like the man in Luke 5 who couldn't contain himself. He was saved, he was cleansed, he was touched by the Master. May we leave this place on fire for you and tell others about your cleansing power. We pray this through the Holy Ghost of God, in the name of Christ, to you, the Supreme Father and God, over all. Amen and amen.